Ogre Cave Audio reports at Origins 2006. I'm talking with Brennan Taylor of Indie Press Revolution. Hello.
Hi.
I don't really know where to hold this. I'm just gonna hold it here.
Okay.
The recorder. Had good luck with it in the past.
Okay.
But yeah. So we've been wanting to talk with you for a while about just, you know, why you got into the lucrative high-stakes world of being a small games distributor. And,
right.
And, you know, where you're coming from on this and what your goals are for the near future.
Okay. Well, I'm a small games publisher also.
That's right. You have a new game out at the show.
That's right.
Mortal Coil.
And I had published a D20 game called Bulldogs like 2 years ago.
Oh, Bulldogs is you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I was looking around at what I wanted to do with that and I started looking into the distribution pretty seriously, I realized, you know, that it was just a complete chumps game, basically. That, you know, there was no way I, using a print-on-demand that I was going to do, there was no way that I was going to actually be able to make any money at all if I went through a distributor, because, you know, the distributor, I would have to go to a consolidator first. So, you know, the retailer takes their cut, the distributor takes their cut, and the consolidator takes their cut.
By consolidator, you mean
like
somebody like Impressions or Wizard's Attic in the past.
Right,
fulfillment house.
Exactly,
okay.
A fulfillment house. Because what they do is they take all the small press authors and they sort of present them as a package to the distributors,
right.
Which is the only way the distributors are interested. They don't want to talk to a dozen little companies that they don't even know are going to be around in a month.
Yeah.
And I can understand where they're coming from to a certain extent, but, you know, I also wanted to make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a dollar a book was just not going to be quite enough, you know? So I was talking to another indie press, indie game publisher named Ed Cha, who did a couple of D20 adventure supplements.
Okay.
And we were just, you know, lamenting about the state of the distribution, and when we were talking, we just kind of came up with the idea that it would be a good idea to you know, pull ourselves out of that, and that probably a lot of other small publishers would be interested in doing the same thing.
Okay.
So that's how IPR was born.
Right on. So it kind of sort of came out of small D20 books.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
well
originally,
as,
yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, most of the books that I carry now, I mean, I carry D20 stuff, but most of the books I carry now are non-D20 indie games. A lot of the designers that, you know, are familiar to the Forge come through IPR, but not exclusively, certainly. I have a couple of guys from the UK, too, that, you know, Malcolm, who does A-State.
Right.
And then
handling their United States distribution, or
yeah, because he's got distribution over in the UK, but he didn't have really any direct channels in the US, because of, you know, basically shipping expenses mostly. And the ironic thing is he actually has them printed over here and shipped to him in England,
and then ships them back to you.
Right. I should say Scotland. He's from Scotland.
Right on. As far as working with the smaller press people, well, I mean, my impression at least is that the small press D20 people, and that's, you know, people who are doing indie games, but games that you could kind of mistake for a more mainstream role-playing game, I imagine those people, you don't have to tell them really that they want to be in retail stores.
Right.
Because that's kind of the whole paradigm for them. But how much, as far as, you know, the other small press, the other white meat or whatever, how much education do you have to do, or like how do you end up working with the more art house authors as far as, you know, bringing on new people and
basically when I see that a new game's coming out, I usually will contact the publisher and start talking to them about IPR. A lot of them will contact me when they're getting ready to do a game. Because a lot of the people that are already in IPR know some of these guys who are doing, you know, their design work, or when people start posting their design work online,
right.
Some of our current members will go over to them and say, hey, you ought to check out IPR. So it's pretty much a word of mouth thing. And I also, you know, I sort of troll around looking for people.
Right.
And honestly, once you start looking at the numbers, it just makes sense if you're a small press publisher. So
yeah.
I haven't really had a lot of trouble recruiting people in. I know some people were a little iffy about retail, but once they started actually selling things through retail, and they realize their volume's higher. I mean, their cut's a little smaller, but their volume's higher.
Yeah.
Then they're not so, you know, worried about it.
That's kind of, to me, that just, like, kind of represents, like, you have the two extremes of thought in indie RPGs, and you almost don't have anything in the middle.
Right, it's, right. But, you know, I'll tell you what, most of the guys, I've only had one person who was really hesitant about going to retail, but he came around after, you know, after talking to some other people who were, you know, using my service to get into retail stores, and they said, you know, they're just, it's not, there's nothing that you could lose by doing this. Because, to be honest with you, I think having it on the shelf helps. Not everybody shops online, you know?
Yeah.
And the more places you can get it out there, the better. So, yeah. You know, what sells games is people playing games.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And they can't play it if they never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, on that note, how should I phrase this? I mean, you don't, strictly speaking, have to worry about marketing because that's not your role. But, like, if it were up to you, what would you do to kind of boost indie role-playing as a whole?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that is going on now, that I'm starting to see going on now, is actually running the games at conventions. Because then you get people who will sign up for it. You know, they may be, well, I've never heard of this, it's new, but it sounds interesting. They'll sign up, maybe they've never ever played an indie game before.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that turns people, you know, onto these products, is to actually play them. You know, and I think more and more conventions, I think that indie games are getting played at conventions more than they used to be. You didn't used to see them on the schedule as much, and now you see them a lot more.
Yeah, definitely starting to creep in there.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a buffer LARP or something going on about 40 yards away. So that's what you hear there. But yeah, I'm in a game of the Chevalier Roach tonight.
Right.
It's an official con game. One of, I think, two or three indie games that's happening here. Sadly, my game is scheduled at the exact same time as the Origins of Ords, which normally I'm supposed to cover for the site. So yeah, sorry about that, Alan. I'm not missing the Roach. But yeah, that's something that the Forge folks have been absolutely great at, is the convention marketing.
Definitely.
Of just, like, I mean, you have, like, what, there's like four or five probably demo kits that you know, you have in the IPR booth from publishers who aren't here, but they have this thing of, like, here's exactly how you demo my game in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and usually they're less than that. It's like 15, 20-minute demos usually. 10 to 20 minutes is what we try for.
They were just talking about the Burning Wheel demos that Luke Crane sets up, or I think it was Luke Crane.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's also over at the Key 20 booth, but...
Yeah, he goes through Key 20 and through me.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Key 20 is more oriented towards distribution than
I am.
So, honestly, we don't really do the same things. You know?
Well, Key 20 is more on the fulfillment house.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of model.
It's the fulfillment house model, yeah.
But yeah, I have a hard time imagining anything having to do with Burning Wheel actually being over in 20 minutes. But that's just my preconception from looking at the
book.
Well,
you know, I tell you, Luke runs a really mean 10-minute demo at a con table, you know. And it's just, he slaps down two characters and he's like, let's fight, you know. So
I can certainly imagine. I mean, he does so many cons also, and he's been doing this for longer than almost anyone else.
Right, yeah, you know, I can't do as many cons as he does. I have a family. He's crazy at cons, yeah. And he's got so much energy, too. He blows my mind. But, yeah, there's a couple of conventions in New Jersey, actually, DexCon and Dreamation, that...
Dreamation is the big one, right?
Yeah, the owners, the con organizers, are really accommodating, and they help you, you know, they help people out with lodging and with booth space and all kinds of things that, you know, make it really economical for indie press people to go there. And so that's where I think it started to get organized, this whole sort of con phenomenon, where people started to realize how important conventions are for promoting these kinds of games.
Right on. So, I know I'm definitely going to start running these sorts of games. I want to run Primetime Adventures at a con at some point.
Yeah.
Just to either have a really great time or see it go down in flames. I think either way will be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad that game isn't here anywhere.
Right, I know. And I don't carry it, unfortunately.
No?
No.
Oh, my God. We got to re-educate that guy.
I know.
Because every time, I mean, I was coming to this show just absolutely ready to tell people, okay, no, buy Primetime Adventures. It's
right,
just,
right.
I don't know. I think
I'll
it's a game
I'll
that
tell
really.
I'll tell Matt that you said that. I'll point him to the podcast.
You know, I think that's a game that really sells a lot of the quintessential stuff of, you know, of new style RPGs.
Yeah, yeah.
And
And my personal favorite, of course, is Dogs in the Vineyard.
Dogs in the Vineyard is an awesome game. It's it's not quite as it's not adaptable the way that Primetime Adventures is.
Well, no, it's very setting specific.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the guy I'm rooming with here at the show is somebody, and you know, I started coming to Origins because of the whole Looney Labs crowd, and I was very much a board gamer.
Right.
And the guy I'm rooming with this year is part of that crowd, and we just got to talking about role playing, and I told you some of this before, but
right.
We just got to talking about role playing and how he used to be really into it, but then kind of realized that he wasn't having a whole lot of fun anymore. And then I started talking about this new stuff, and this morning he's like, okay, here's $50. Go down to this IPR or whatever booth and buy some things for me.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, you know, there's a whole lot of people who are waiting for this.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
It's hitting on different things than like the D&D games and I guess what I would call traditional style role-playing games. You know, the big 8.5 by 11 books that are 200 pages long with all the rules in it, you know. And the cool thing about indie games is a lot of them are really short. You know, you don't have to read a lot of rules and then you can just sit down and play. So,
yeah. I mean, Under the Bed is like smaller than a pack of cards.
Right, yeah.
Well, it is a pack of cards.
And the rules themselves are just a little tiny pamphlet that's you know, that's packaged with the pack of cards.
Yeah, but that can be a really powerful game.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard great things about it. I haven't actually had a chance to play that one.
It's Joshua, if you hear this, you need to get the thing in the box.
Right.
It needs to have a box. I bought the previous edition at Gen Con and I lost half the cards in like a week. There needs to be a box. That's all. Okay. Brendan Taylor, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but do you have any a parting message for our audience?
A parting message? I don't know. I just go out there and try new things. That's what I was doing.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right.
I'm trying to try new things at the show, but I seem to have fallen back into my old pattern of people asking me if I want to demo something, and I say, no, not really.
Right.
Which is unhealthy, but, you know, small steps.
Yeah, right.
Small steps. I hope to demo something in the booth later today.
Okay, cool.
Try something new. I haven't tried capes yet.
Capes. I can give you a demo of capes later this afternoon.
Right on. All right. Brendan Taylor, thank you very much.
Thanks.